When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for us and us. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
With the chances we created, we could have lost it if it wasn't for an offside flag. But a draw at Donny isn't the worst result in the world after the week that we've had. Welcome to Charlton Live. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez. Joining me here at the Valley as we get ready to look back at yesterday's 1-1 draw, a very controversial 1-1 draw in the end up at Doncaster Rovers are Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom, on that far side of the table there?
Yeah, good. Fresher than you two, I think.
Yeah, you didn't come to our nils after the game. You bottled it, so.
Yeah, I did. But no, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Yeah, you had an 11-mile run today, though, which I can't say.
No, my legs aren't feeling too fresh. Yeah.
Excellent. And joining the pair of us, Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, all right. A bit fragile. But not too bad now. I've recovered.
You enjoyed your day?
Yeah, it was really good, wasn't it? Really, really good fun. Result. Probably have taken that at the start of the day and had everybody out yesterday, so it was good fun.
Yeah, at least you both turned up, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We should point out at this stage of proceedings that Nathan Muller was supposed to be here, and don't forget this show starts at 7 o'clock in the evening. He overslept. he got a text about 20 minutes before the show. He's like, "Oh, just woken up. I can be there at 7:15." I said, "Don't bother, Nath. You're sacked." But no, he won't be here this evening. A
couple of indiscretions over the past few weeks.
Yeah, right? Swearing, sleeping. Problems. I don't know. He's gone off the rails over the last few weeks. Excellent. Right, on tonight's show, so we will look back at yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Doncaster Rovers. We're going to hear the highlights, including that controversially last-minute ruled-out goal for Doncaster. We'll hear, of course, from Lee Bowyer, served the first of his three-match touchline ban yesterday afternoon, but we hear what he had to say. We'll also hear what you guys had to say about the performance. You can get involved. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. UK. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Have your say about yesterday's performance. And I dare say you may want to have your say about something that came up during the week. I think I covered it a little bit on Thursday.
Just a bit.
Yeah, but we'll talk about Roland Duchatelet's bizarre statement about the club being sold to the EFL. So if you want to have your say on that, you can do so as well via the methods just mentioned. Lee Bayer had his say on that as well yesterday. Well, I didn't say too much about it, but I did ask him for his opinion on that suggestion. We're also going to hear from Naby Sarr, because I promised you a Naby Sarr interview on Thursday and I didn't deliver, and I like to be a man of my word, so we'll hear a little bit from Naby Sarr. It was actually after last week's game at Wimbledon, but there's a couple of questions that are more about his general time at the club, so we'll hear from Nabs later on. If we have time, Richard Workman, listener and friend to the show, he sent in a suggestion for a topic earlier. Now, Billy Bonds had a stand named after him at the Taxpayers Stadium in Stratford yesterday for West Ham, so Richard asked if you could name a stand after someone here at the Valley, who would it be and why? So if you want to have your say on that as well, a few of you have tweeted in on that, you can do so. So plenty of topics to get your teeth into this evening here on Charlton Live. The first one, of course, though, is that game yesterday, Tom. You were there commentating, Lewis. You were there inebriated and watching. We've got your audio diary later as well, which I'm looking forward to. All of us went to the game together. But Tom, well, all being said, a point, not a bad result. Probably, if you ignore the fact that we conceded a last-minute goal that was then ruled out for offside, I mean, we could probably feel a little bit hard done by that we haven't come away with 3 points there.
Yeah, I think, first of all, the point's a very good result there. They've got a very, very good home record, and we easily matched them, if not bettered them, in large parts of the game. Came out of the blocks very fast. Thought probably dominated, maybe, that first half, certainly with a better side, without creating a huge amount of chances or necessarily testing Morosi. Second half started a little bit sluggish, then had that obviously frantic spell ahead of getting the goal, and then it was just about really whether we could keep it tight enough and keep it secure, which obviously we couldn't do. But I think if I'd have been offered that before the game, I certainly would have taken it. And I think on the whole, it was a good charm performance against a tough and resolute side who, as I say, have a very good home record. And you look ahead to the likes of Pompey and Luton to come. We obviously got them both at home, but it's the sort of performance that makes me think we can compete against those sides as well, which is a positive.
One of my favourite football cliches is when a draw feels like a win or a defeat because of the circumstances at which it came about. But yesterday, it feels like a defeat on one hand, because we played well, we had plenty of chances in spells. Having taken the lead within the last 20 minutes, you expect to go on to win it. Obviously, we then conceded, but then it feels like a victory because we effectively lost it in the last minute, and then that goal was chalked off. And I mean, these fine margins, so important towards the end of the season. When you think about that cushion now, the 5-point cushion over Doncaster remains. Peterborough in seventh place did gain 2 points on us with their win over Wickham. But, you know, if we'd lost that game and we were only 5 points ahead of Peterborough and only, what would have been, 3 points ahead of Doncaster, then all of a sudden you're a bit edgy. So to keep that cushion, especially in the way it happened in that last minute with the goal that's ruled out offside, which was contentious, if we're being fair. I mean, there's people who've got views on it both ways, and we'll have that conversation later. Feels like a victory then, does it?
Yeah, I mean, when the goal that got ruled out went through, went in the goal, we were all a little bit frustrated, a little bit worried. I mean, you could see Naif was going a bit nuts down the front. So he was even happier once it got chalked off, and all the Donny fans that had ran on the pitch, and the old coaching staff that were all jumping on each other's backs and stuff, had to go back down and sit back down again. Was it's always satisfying when you see that. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the actual game itself, I think from the first half, I didn't really feel like we competed a huge amount. But I think that was, as we touched on, I think the view that we had from the stand wasn't great. I think you could see all the action at the other end. I think you guys were a bit more
I was editing your match day diary today at half time. You and Rondon and the rest of you sounded a bit disappointed, whereas at half time I was thinking like we're ripping them apart at will in the first half an hour. But anyway, let's have a listen to the highlights, and then we'll come back and discuss the game more. Don't forget then, you know, is that goal offside? That's the question I'm asking you guys, because I've watched it 50 times times, and I still have absolutely no idea. So if anyone out there has watched it, let us know. studio@charltonlive.co.uk, tweet us at Charlton Live, or head over to the Charlton Live forum. Let us know if you think that the Doncaster winning goal that got ruled out for offside, was that the correct decision or not? I mean, I certainly feel like it was a good decision as far as I care, but I don't know if that's being right or not. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. Tom Wallin, you stepped up to the plate. You were there doing commentary alongside Terry Smith.
You can't do much with that, and Doncaster have it back, but Williams hassles the possession back for Charlton. Little 1-2 with
Kelly.
He's in the box, shimmies past one, goes to the byline, gets it back across on, cleared away just in front of the goalposts by Doncaster, and they can bring it away here. But that's good work from Billick to win the ball back for Charlton. Out to Williams, back into Billick, stretching a little bit, but he's still on the ball. Back to Cullen, now out to Johnny Williams on the right hand side. Charlton with the momentum, cuts back into his left, Johnny Williams. Chip ball into the box to Vedekele. Finds his way through the
tail.
Back to Vedekele. Oh, and his shot blocked away by Doncaster. Strong start by the Addicts. Still trying to take another man on. Nobody there. He's turned back away. Loses Solly now, who does make a run. Solly ball into the box. Nabisar's there. Christian Billick. Not enough pace on the header. And it's clutched by Morosi.
He's gone.
Keeper knocks it straight out of Vedekele. Into the penalty area comes Igor. Little touch into Aribo. Can he shoot? It's blocked away again. Going to come out to Christian Billick, halfway inside the Doncaster half. He heads it out to Solly. Solly upfield to Aribo. Can he turn his man, Andrew? Yes, he does. Aribo towards the touchline.
Needs it on
takes
his left.
Takes it back on his left. Out to Cullen. Takes a shot. Headed over the bar. This time by Butler. And Charlton have a corner. Kaylee, lovely flick on to Taylor. Taylor, little touch to Williams.
Good.
Taylor goes on for a return. Can he get a shot? He does. Almost through the keeper's legs.
Save.
Just about pounced on it before it could get in, nestle in the back of the net.
Aribo tries to take his man on, but he's lost the ball. And it might be a counter-attack on here because Marquise is away from Chris Solly and he's bursting into the penalty area on his left foot. Takes a shot. Bauer gets in to deflect it over the bar. Looked for a second like it was going to deflect into the top corner. It has gone over
the
bar.
Free kick taken. Just rolled by Perrington into Williams. Williams clips it forward towards Patrick Bauer, who gets
down
his head to it twice, and it drops to Bielik. And Bielik has a shot, and it's, well, I was going to say Brody, it's back to Bielik.
And again.
What a save by Morosi.
There is the half-time whistle blown by Ben Toner. Wilkes tracking him, and the ball breaks to Lyle Taylor. Taylor's got space to run into, gives it out to Aribo, carried on his run on the right-hand side, cuts inside on his left foot, shapes to shoot towards the back post, just curls it over the bar.
It's a good effort from Joe Aribo.
Comes in from Crawford towards the back post, and it is Marquise who nods it back into the middle, and the shot comes in from Coppinger on his left foot, and it takes a deflection, I think, off Bielik.
Yeah, it was.
And it's out for a corner.
Defended those first two well, and this time it's going to be Crawford from the near side, so it's going to be out swinging right-footed, and in it comes towards the edge of the six-yard box. Phillips starts to make a run, and it's headed in, and Solly heads it off the line, and Aribo then gets it away to Lyle Taylor.
So a chip ball looking for the run of Vedekele. He's up against Downing, who's trying to let it go out.
So
Vedekele does superbly well. Drops to the floor. He's on it, Vedekele.
Go on
to Purrington. Perrington to Taylor, can't get it under control. No, he does!
It's off the post!
Fosu with the ball. Can't get it under control, Fosu. He's a bit isolated there, Josh Cullen. He's up against Andrew. Turns inside, takes him on. Goes one way,
brilliant,
into the box, Josh
brilliant
Cullen. Will he take a shot?
Ball!
Not given.
Aribo
with a shot blocked away.
Again.
Second shot. Tipped around the post. Charlton banging on the door with a sledgehammer, and it still won't go in.
I cannot believe it. Cullen did so well to turn his man twice, broke into the area, snapshot with his left foot, it bounced off a Doncaster player. I have no idea what part of him it hit. Bounced out to Joe Aribo as a shot, blocked out, back to Joe Aribo again with another shot, and deflected behind for a corner. Charlton have had four or five chances in the last couple of minutes, and I cannot believe not one of them has gone in.
On this near side, Cullen with a short turn, quick corner. Vedekele had made the run. Back to Cullen. Cullen fizzes it across.
Yes!
It's a goal for John! Josh Cullen with a shot. Marquis, I think, deflected it past his keeper, or maybe even through his legs. But Charlton never lead. 26 minutes into this second half, Josh Cullen will claim it.
It has to be an own goal, but what a brilliant bit of play from Charlton. It's been coming the last 5 or 6 minutes. Charlton have really stepped it up. They've been fantastic, chance after chance after chance. I was disappointed when the corner went short because I thought it was slowing the momentum down, but Cullen's second ball in was low, hard and fizzing, and it was John Marquis, who's got 21 goals already for Doncaster this season, who tried to flick the header away to get anything on it, and I think inadvertently has flicked it between his own keeper's legs and into the back of the net. But no less than Charlton deserve for these last few minutes to find themselves 1-0 up.
Well, I said we've been banging at the door. Doncaster bodies being thrown in front of every single attempt Charlton had. But this time, not only did we knock on the door, we broke through and we're into the living room. Inside it comes to Whiteman. Whiteman in a bit of space as Charlton dropped deep. Whiteman, ball up towards Wilkes. Wilkes shadowed by Purrington, but he gets a shot away.
Oh,
and he scores.
And Phillips is fuming at his defence straight after that change was made, and Doncaster about to bring on two players, but a wonderful finish from Wilkes, who's probably been their most creative player, you'd have to say. He had his back to goal on the edge of the penalty area, and he'd had half a second to turn and fire that shot in left-footed. Phillips furious that there weren't Charlton players closer to him. Very little he could do in the Charlton goal. And just 2 minutes after the Addicts are ahead, they find themselves level.
The attack, Doncaster. The ball sent towards the edge of the penalty area. Butler stayed forward. It's his header back into
and
the
ball,
edge of the
ball, surely.
And it's Marquee. What a save!
Oh, Dylan
Phillips with a quite spectacular left-handed save to keep out the effort from Marquee.
That is absolutely incredible. The ball just dropped to Marquee on the edge of the area, who stabbed it forward. It was fairly close to Phillips' body, but so close it was so difficult for him to get down to his left, and he was down in an instant, and the ball just squirmed away and trickled just wide of the post.
Heavy touch, but he's still on the end of it. Marquee sends it across here to Blair. He lets it run to Wilkes. Wilkes back across to Whiteman, takes the shot. Whiteman, gets the bar. It's going to drop again to Whiteman, heads it left to Marquee. Charlton not defending it. Oh, and it's there. Oh, no, it's offside. Oh, the assistant never had his flag up when the ball hit the back of the net.
Nobody. People are just starting to realise around us. I had no idea. The bench were out. The players were halfway down the touchline.
Will the referee override him here?
No ref.
I can only assume it's for
I wonder if it's somebody in the eye line or someone in the eye line.
Someone in the eye line of Dylan Phillips.
Yeah. Well, I don't see how he can override him because he would.
Yeah, he's given offside. He's given offside. I don't, unless Marquee was offside.
No, he can't have been because the late flag. There's no way it was that. I'd love to see the replay and find out. Charlton bench just trying to calm him down.
Someone on a Doncaster bench is getting a yellow or some sort of card. Yeah, it's McCann who's getting a yellow card. Well, that's a three-match ban right there, surely. Well, we got away with one there, I think. Charlton didn't really defend that well at all. From the ball off the crossbar to the minute it dropped to Marquee. And there is the final whistle. And
The Doncaster players, it's going to be a straight red after the final whistle.
No,
just a yellow, because the player's bursting in towards the referee here.
A yellow for May, and it's all kicking off.
Credit to the
Wilkes
Doncaster assistant manager
away.
Here, because
Wilkes
he
is getting one as well.
The Doncaster assistant is furious at his players for going and surrounding the referee, trying to just get them off the pitch, which is a sensible thing to do. And look, you think you've scored a last-minute winner. We know how we felt last week when Igor scored. If you then find out that's ruled out, you're going to rightly so be frustrated, but you can't surround a referee like that.
There we go, what an ending to the game it was up at the Keep Moat Stadium. I had no idea that goal was offside. In the time we heard how long it took you guys to notice the flag. I think that's just how long it took the flag to go up.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I even got a goal tweet out and then managed to correct it, and I got a lot of abuse for that, which is probably fair, because if I was sat at home waiting to see if we'd held on to a draw and then some idiot saying that we'd lost and then said, oh no, wait, it's fine, we haven't, I'd be getting ready to throw my phone out the window as well. So sorry about that, everyone. a massive relief when that goal was ruled out for offside, because I mean, that would have been devastating, the way that we played in that game, to if we'd lost it in circumstances like that.
Yeah, and I don't think it would have been deserved. And you heard on the commentary there, I did say we didn't defend, or Terry said actually, we didn't defend that passage of play particularly well, and I agree with him. I think the goal itself, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit, we didn't defend that well, but aside from that, on the whole, we did fine. Marquise had a couple of chances. Phillips made some crucial saves, but he's part of that defence and he did his job. Bauer made a fantastic block. So whilst they did create opportunities, we were there to defend them and put our bodies on the line. So to have then conceded in that last minute would have just been sickening. I mean, the fact that neither of us said anything when the goal went in just proves how gutted we were, until obviously we realised. And I don't think it would have been fair either. If Charlton had scored up the other end, obviously emotionally, I would have been right at the other end of the scale. But I think that would have been harsh on Doncaster as well. I think the draw was the right result. But yeah, when that went in, my heart just sank. Mm. And Yeah, it was just utter relief when that flag went up.
I mean, we saw the frustration of the Doncaster Rover play at the end. I mean, it was borderline. I mean, you said it on the comms, Tom. I mean, May should have been sent off. He didn't just run up and shout at a referee. He ran into him, barged into him. And there's no way it was an accident. I mean, he should have been sent off. But, I mean, the fury, even McCann was furious and he got a booking himself. Malik Wilkes, who scored the actual equaliser, was booked in the melee afterwards as well. Right, so let's just open that can of worms right now. Is it offside or is it not? So it's a long shot that's hit, crashed off the crossbar. It's fallen to Marquise inside the area. Now he sidestepped his man. And as far as I could tell on first viewing, he's just volleyed it into the top corner. Phillips is unmoved because there are men in front of him. There's two men in front of him. I think May is one of them. I'm not sure who the other one is for certain. It hits the head of one of them, the one who wasn't quite the furthest forward. Now, there is a suggestion that one, which I think is May, is slightly ahead of Naby Sarr, but whether Purrington's playing him onside at the same time, I'm not certain. The second one, who's further towards the goal, is definitely offside in any situation, either from the shot or from the header. And now you're asking whether that second one is in the line of sight of Dylan Phillips. Now, I've looked at it a couple of times, and I'm not sure the second one is in the line of sight of Dylan Phillips, so I don't think you could argue that he was the one that is the reason for the goal being ruled out. Now, I know Phillips was definitely saying afterwards that it's hit someone's head, and that person, therefore, I think is May. And I think you're arguing now borderline from the view we've got. I'm not certain whether he's the wrong side of Naby Sarr, and even if he is, whether Purrington's playing him on or not. So I can give you absolutely no clarity on that. Lewis, can you do any better?
I mean, obviously, from where we were sat, I couldn't see why it was chalked off. I've had a look at some pictures today that have come out. Quite a good view from the corner of where that goal is.
Yeah, there was a YouTube video of a Donny fan from behind that probably has the best view. And even then, I've watched it a couple of times, and I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a hard call. I mean, that Lino's got some serious guts to make a call like that in the 96th minute, wasn't it?
Yeah.
3 minutes of the time, we'd already overrun.
So the 3 minutes of added time were shown. Who was it who went down? Billick or Aribo went down?
Aribo went
down in that first minute. And then for 1 minute, then he got up, and then we played 3 minutes, and then Billick went down. And then they brought on Dixiel, and I thought, what's the point in this? Like, there's literally, like, we've played three minutes of added time, even with the minute for a rebate. We then played another 3 minutes. So, like, I thought it'd be funny to count how many seconds Dixiel was on between coming on and the referee blowing the whistle. Then he played another 2 minutes, so I don't know. I don't know where he got that from.
Very found the time.
I imagine Bowyer would have had something to say about that had that goal stood right at the end. But yeah, you can understand the frustration because, I mean, that is a absolutely marginal call. And as Lewis says, Tom, I mean, the Lino, who is one of my favourite people on earth, and I think should be knighted, must have 20/20 vision and must be, I mean, you have to be certain as well to make that decision. So a brave decision and one that I'm really pleased he made.
Yeah, massive, massive cojones on him to do that. I think when you get Terry Smith congratulating or praising a match official, you know they've done something positive for Charlton. Like everybody else, I can't give any clarity. At the time, like we said just off air there, at the time the goal goes in, and the reason we're gutted is we see absolutely no reason to think otherwise than it's a goal. I've seen the pictures back. I agree with your kind of initial summary. It looks like there is a player who makes a run towards the ball. For me, from what I've seen, he comes from an onside position. There's then a second player there who is definitely, or I would say, offside. Does he have involvement in it? I'm not sure. As you said, Dill says someone gets ahead to it, so it's very difficult. If that was at the Valley and we were the home team and that goes in, you'd be furious if that got chalked off, so I understand their disappointment. But on the balance of luck and the things that have and haven't gone our way this season, I think we were due one, to be honest. So I think, I don't think we're going to be able to give a comprehensive answer, yes or no, about whether it was or wasn't offside, but I think on the balance of play and the way the game goes, it was probably fair. And it's just one of those things. But as I say, as a Doncaster fan, I completely understand why they were so upset. But Dylan says he saw something. And if you look at the replays, the players immediately react and turn to the official. They don't drop to their knees or anything. And whilst I know sometimes you see defenders throw their hands up, kind of hopefully looking for an offside, this lot turned like they were expecting a decision, not that they were just hopeful. So maybe there's something in that. I'm not sure. But I mean, I've got as much clarity as anyone else, really. It's a really tight call.
It's worth looking back at our winner at Wimbledon last week if you want to see the most outrageous offside claim you've ever seen. When the ball was prodded forward by Naby Sarr, then flicked on by Vetekele, and Aribo had the shot that the keeper saved. I think it was Wagstaff, possibly, but there's a player on the far side who appealed for offside on Aribo when he was the man playing him onside by about 3 yards. He was literally not even close. But yeah, that's irrelevant. I mean, how stupid must you feel if you're that Doncaster fan who's on the pitch? I mean, I only saw one. Was there more than one?
There was a couple.
There was a couple. Yeah. I mean, the joy, and then all of a sudden you've got this. Have to walk off the pitch gingerly, presumably getting taken away as well. Yeah. I mean, Mark Anderson's asking if they get banned. I mean, judging by what appears to be the rules, then surely they have to be banned as well. So imagine, what would you get banned for? Offside, celebrated an offside goal. Well done.
Oh, I mean,
you must feel so stupid. Over the course of the game, as we said, I mean, that would have been really harsh if we had lost that game, because I mean, if you judge the game on spells of dominance, then Charlton had probably the opening half an hour, then there was 15 minutes while Doncaster come back into it before half-time, although then Billick did have that big chance just before half-time. Maybe the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half were Donny's, but then we had that really rampant spell of chances where we hit the post. Aribo had ones blocked. I mean, Josh Cullen had that shot that we all thought looked like handball from where we were, but then when you watch it back, it hit the guy in the face. And then we finally take the lead. I guess after we take the lead, I mean, obviously it wasn't that long before we conceded again, but I don't think we really had any more chances after that. And then Donny obviously had the last 5 minutes plus the 6 minutes of added time where they were putting us under pressure. But over the course of the game, I mean, we had some really dominant spells and we really should have been 2-3 up at the break.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we had some really decent chances in that first half, which, to be honest, I didn't really see how good they were from that end. We had the Bielik, those two chances. I mean, what a save from Morosi as well.
Even in the opening minute, I mean, Vetekele had a chance which was well blocked. I mean, Taylor, we saw, had an effort straight at the keeper when he was flicked through by Williams. I think Cullen had one that was headed away as it looked like it was going into the top corner. Bielik with his two volleys just before half time. I think he also had a header in about 5 minutes in as well. So all these chances, and it's just the same old story at the moment, Lewis, that we're not ruthless. I mean, I was listening back to your commentary, Tom. I think you were talking about the Barnsley game before the start of our game, and they are ruthless, and we're not at the moment. And that's the reason we're not going to be in the top two.
Yeah,
and I mean, that's a reason why we might struggle in the playoffs if we don't address that soon.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you need to be clinical, and as you say, you need to punish teams. We can create these chances, and we have creative players in that midfield, and we're crying out for these midfield players to create chances for Igor and for Lyle and for themselves. And we're getting the chances there, but we just can't seem to stick it in the back of the net. I mean, Lyle Taylor, he's not scored a goal since Shrewsbury away, I believe, which was, when was that, January? Mid-January? Before he got sent off against Accrington? Mm. I don't think he scored a goal since then.
Yeah.
I know, you know, we've lost Carlin in the meantime, so he's sort of lost his partner there. But, I mean, yesterday I didn't think he had the best of games, Lyle Taylor. I think he is always a handful whenever he plays because he's got that physical presence about him. But it's something that seems to be missing from his game at the moment. And obviously, Igor, you're putting pressure on somebody who's had a lack of minutes all season and hasn't played a lot of football over the last couple of years anyway. And we've obviously, as discussed before, we've spoken about Johnny Williams has come under a bit of criticism as well lately for his end product. He got pulled off quite early on. In the game yesterday, which, to be honest, the first time I've not been surprised when he's come off. I didn't think he had a great game yesterday either, but it's something that we need to address. And I'm sure Bowyer is. We've got another game coming up Saturday at home, and I'm hoping maybe that home backing will get something into the players, and we'll see if we can kick on from there.
The goal, when it did come, Tom, sort of midway through, it was 72nd minute, so. Inside the final 20 minutes. Again, like we say, it was at the end of that spell where we'd just seen Taylor hitting the post. We'd seen Aribo having their two shots blocked as he was following up on Cullen's shot that was also blocked. And I mean, the way it came about, it's always funny when an ex-Millwall man scores an own goal against you, John Marquise, who's been he's been deadly for Donny so far this season, but yesterday wasn't really his best game. He missed a couple of chances when he was offside. He scored a goal that was also offside, and he kept getting caught offside. And then I think he would have felt vindicated if he had scored that goal at the end. He would have felt like, well, I've done my bit now. But there was some moans and groans from the Doncaster fans next to us when he got given the Man of the Match award over the Tannoy. But I mean, I would have given it to him quite happily in the 72nd minute when he did that.
Yeah, me too. And you're right, we swapped comms halfway through the second half, so it's around 67 minutes. And ever since I handed it back to Tel, for that five-minute period, we were absolutely relentless. And there was chance after chance after chance. And you heard it in the highlights there. I said, I cannot believe we haven't scored from this. And you think, if we don't, we've lost it, because that's our momentum there. And we need to capitalise on it. So you see that corner taken short and you think, wow, that's just killed all that momentum. You really want to be whipping that in. And as that was going through my head, Cullen whips that ball in and an ex-Millwall player heading it in just is the icing on the cake. But I don't think it was any less than we deserved at that point in the game. I think, especially those last 5 minutes. But if you take the game up to 72 minutes, we were the better side overall and we deserved to be in front. He didn't have his best game up the other end, I don't think, although he did, as you say, pull our defence apart at times. But I think that was our own doing, really. That was the fault of Solly or Purrington on the other side for being too far advanced. But the other two, Sarr and Bauer, played that offside trap well and kept getting him caught offside. And yeah, we go 1-0 up. And then again, I don't think it was on the highlights, but I said to Tel, right, we just got to keep it tight now. If we can get to even 80 minutes and have kept it tight, then you throw the likes of Jick Steele or you throw Prattley on and you just try and shut out the game. And obviously we didn't get far enough and suddenly we were level. But at that moment, I really thought if we can just keep it tight for a few minutes, we're going to go on and win this game.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, though, with the goal, the last two goals we've scored now have been from quickly taken short corners. I hate short corners with a vengeance, but twice now in the last couple of games. These aren't the sort of corners where you just tap it to someone who's a yard away and then you mess it up. But this is one where we've actually been quick, noticed there's a gap inside the area and taking it quickly, and it's worked for us. As you say, Tom, we didn't hold on. It was only 4 minutes later that Malik Wilkes, who was probably should have been the man of the match for Doncaster Rovers, on loan from Leeds, got his, I think, 13th goal of the season. Good finish from the edge of the area, but we didn't get tight, did we? I think Purrington possibly just showed him the wrong way there.
Yeah, I think Purrington's got to have a look at that, because he did show him onto the wrong side. And, Malik Wilkes, I mean, were giving him a bit of grief of being a not-so-good Lyle Taylor yesterday, as you could probably hear from the OIM, but I thought we had a good game yesterday, and like you, surprised he didn't get their Doncaster man of the match, although Marquise, it was a cracking finish. But yeah, it was, it's frustrating when you concede so early after taking the lead. I mean, it looked like it was going to be one of those days where we were creating all these chances, they just weren't going in. Lyle hit the post and we had a couple off the line and the one that we thought was handball, and it felt like it was going to be one of those days where it just wouldn't go in. So when you get that break of luck, it comes off of the Doncaster top scorer a bit into the wrong net, and you think, oh, we might have this here, and you think maybe luck's going to be on your side. And unfortunately, we concede early on, and then after that, I just felt like we really struggled to get back into the game. I think that change, Nave said to me yesterday, I think it was made at the right time, but it just seemed to happen in the wrong moment, if that makes sense. It was probably the change made sense in terms of where the game was going. We could have gone for a counter-attack to build on the lead that we'd already got. And it just so happened that we concede early on, and then we find ourselves a little bit short in the attacking options to go and get a winner ourselves. But yeah, it was frustrating. But we take a point before the game, and they're no mugs, Doncaster. They're up there for a reason.
We're in a comfortable position, really. I mean, we'll hear from Bowyer in a second, but he has ruled out the top two now, which I think we probably did on this show a few weeks ago, if we're being honest. But we've still got that 5-point gap. We're not playing too badly, I'd say. Yesterday we played all right. Second half at Wimbledon, we looked quite good. Huge game coming up against Pompey, who have been in awful form up until yesterday when they thumped Bradford 5-1. And also the bigger teams have brought the better performances out in us so far this season. So I think we're still on track where we need to be in terms of, obviously, we're still getting over losing Carlin and all that. But I think we're in a good place at the moment.
Yeah, I think we're doing fine. And Terry and I were discussing before the game about whether there will come a point where playoffs maybe isn't even mathematically secure, but it's very unlikely we're going to drop out. Top two probably is gone. Whether Bowyer will start to rotate his squad a little bit more and start to rest players, because we were on such a good run in terms of momentum going into the back end of last season. And we got to the Shrewsbury games, and I don't know if we were just knackered or what, but it all dropped off. And I said I didn't think we would. I thought Bowyer would continue to push for that top two until it was mathematically impossible. But obviously the end of yesterday's game, as you say, pretty much ruled that out. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and at what point that is, because we need at least 3 or 4 more wins, I think, probably to secure a playoff place. But at that point, maybe we can start to rotate the squad. But then you've got players that need to play themselves into form. And you both mentioned it there. And as you say, I mentioned the Barnsley game on commentary yesterday. Our big thing is that we're just not ruthless enough. And you'll hear the Cullen interview whenever that comes out in the week. Even he talks about someone's due a hiding from us soon. And Bowyer's been saying that, it seems, all season. And we haven't really smashed anyone. And now with Carlin gone, I'm starting to wonder whether actually whether we have got the side that can do that. Because for all their good play, the likes of Reeves, Aribo, Williams, then Fosu, they're not feeding enough goals into the side yet. If they do, then we're going to fly into the last part of the season. But if not, we're going to have to scrape 1-0s, 2-1s where we can. And, you know, a win's a win. Still 3 points. But I'm just a little bit wary at the moment that at that end of the pitch, things aren't quite clicking. But as you say, performances on the whole have been very, very good. The midfield looks solid. Defensively, we're pretty good. It's just about whether we can score ourselves enough goals to put some momentum on going into the last part of the season.
Right, don't forget you can have your say on this evening's Charlton Live. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. We've got some messages coming in now that we're going to get to. We're talking about yesterday's game, of course, a 1-1 draw up at Doncaster. You can talk about what you're about to hear from Lee Bowyer as well, because Bowyer obviously touches upon the game. He talks about Johnny Williams as well, actually. Interesting to what you just added there, Tom, about his lack of end product so far, which if you want to have your say on that, of course. Also, I did ask Lee Bowyer about the stuff that Roland Duchatelet had to say during the week. He's demanding that the EFL acquire the football club. If you can come up with some sort of feasible plan of how that could work, feel free to email that and copy in Roland as well. But yeah, he has his say on that. So of course, people will want to have their say on that situation as well. And don't forget, Rich Workman had the idea about who would you name a stand here at the Valley after following the fact that West Ham have named one part of someone else's stadium after Billy Bonds, former Charlton player as well, actually, obviously Billy Bonds, but more in line with West Ham United. So any of those things you want to have your say on, feel free to get in contact. Look forward to hearing from you on this evening's Charlton Live. But right now it's time to hear from Lee Bowyer. Caught up with him after yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Doncaster Rovers, and I said despite the late scare, you've got to be pretty pleased with a point away to Doncaster.
I think that was at least we deserved today. First 10 minutes should have been 3-0. Second half, we hit the post. And we had chance after chance. We just didn't take chances. They've made good blocks, keepers made good saves. Just seems to be repeating myself a bit, you know. But I just said to them, look, don't be disappointed. You got a point. It's another game unbeaten. They deserved at least that.
And most importantly, of course, it keeps Doncaster Rovers from gaining any ground of you in that playoff race.
Yeah, you can look at that. But for me, I was still trying to... We were still trying to go for top two, but obviously that's... with Barnsley winning today, that's done now, I think.
There's been that sickness bud throughout the week at the camp, but it's sure no ill effects from the team today with the way they started the game.
Yeah, no, they was excellent from start to finish. Obviously taking a goal away, but I thought we dominated large parts of that game. Our passing, our movement was very good, our work rate was very good. So unfortunately we didn't put the game to bed, but I thought they worked very hard today.
And there was that late moment of controversy, the Doncaster Rovers players and management didn't seem too happy with the goal that's been ruled out offside. Have you had a chance to look back at it yet? Do you know if it was the correct decision?
Yeah, it looks like one of their fellas who's in and around the six-yard box, he gambles on the actual shot and then gets a little flick on it because he runs away celebrating, so and he's in an offside position. That's what it looks like on the telly. So I have to say, I thought the ref was very good today. I thought he was a good one. So I thought he'd done well.
Of course, a different vantage point for yourself, set up in the stand with your free match ban now. Does it make it more difficult for you to get your message to the team?
No, it's no different. The only difference is you're hearing a different voice shouting onto the pitch. So that's the only difference. It's a lot clearer up there than down here, you know. You've got that vantage point. So, it's no difference whatsoever.
As you said, your side created a lot of chances today, and it's possibly a little bit of the same old problem of not converting enough as they have over the last few weeks.
Yeah, but it's like I said, we're going to end up thumping someone soon, and today it could have been. Them three chances, I think Igor had a chance in the first couple of minutes. Lowe, he shot too well. And, I think Johnny Williams maybe had a chance to try to read, but like we had a lot of chances. But another day we score 2, 3, 4 comfortably.
Of course, I know it's probably not something that a manager of any football club wants to have to deal with, but the club's again been in the headlines off the pitch this week. Obviously, the owner had his say about an idea that the Football League could take over control of the club. For yourself, I mean, is it a distraction? Is it difficult to hear things like that coming out from the club when, I mean, fans are looking around and saying that these ideas don't make any sense?
Do you know, all I do is concentrate on my job, and my job's to get us promotion, and that's all I'm concentrating on. Everything else is happening everywhere else. People will make it into negative stories, but for me, there should be good stories that are coming out. Like our side, I think we've lost one in the last five. We're in fifth. We're 5 points above the nearest side below us. We've got, 10, 11 games left. There's a lot of positives, but no one seems to talk about them. Everyone wants to focus on negative stuff that's happening, and that's stuff that, unfortunately, I can't control. So, no, I don't really take much notice of what's being said elsewhere.
And the fans who travelled up today didn't seem to worry about that connection between the supporters and the players on the pitch seems as strong as ever.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. Like, the fans have been great all season. And since I've took over in this time last year in March, they've been great and very vocal again today. And I'm grateful for that, you know. Like, I thank them all the time for their support, and I'm sure that it'll keep coming. And Saturday's a massive game. Like, it is so big at home, and so I'm guessing the place is going to be bouncing next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cheers, mate.
Just a couple on Johnny Williams as well. Obviously, it was excellent today. How important has he been since joining Charlton in terms of his impact both on and off the pitch?
He's been good. He's been good, but I think Johnny's a player you... I don't think you can have a set position for him. Like, if I'm honest, like, it's difficult to find where he's best. So it's like you have to look at the other team, look at their strengths and weaknesses, and then try and fit Johnny in and around that. So he's been very good, and you can tell he has qualities. He needs to add a goal now. If I'm honest, he needs to score or get an assist. You know, like, he's good, but I need some end product now. He's had a while to settle in, and he's done that, but he's been great. He's such a nice fella. He's probably one of the nicest fellas I've ever met in the game. But he's been good. His experience. So it's all been a positive signing, Johnny.
Absolutely. You mentioned there about how he didn't really seem to have a position. He kind of like roams in and around the attack, and that caused a lot of problems for Doncaster today. In the second half, he arguably could have got a penalty when he got brought down in the penalty area. Was what was your view on that?
Yeah, them ones a touch and go, aren't they? I think he maybe overrun it a little bit, and that's why he didn't get the foul. But it was a foul. But I understood why the ref didn't give it, because he just overrun it slightly. So, but that's what he can do. He can draw people in, and he's got very quick feet. So, he just looked a tire to me. That's why I took him off. Not because he was doing bad. He just looked like he was getting a bit tired. So.
What were we saying?
Smith alongside me said he should line up for these opportunities.
Well, you know, Nabisaw can hit them.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Josh Cullen is the other option. It's about
four yards
from the edge of the penalty here. Nabi Sarr to take. Sarr over it. Over it is.
Oh!
Nabi Sarr!
Nabi Sarr! Oh, yes!
We've been looking for a free kick hero, and it comes in the way of Nabi Sarr. Everyone's going to claim they said it, but the Cheltenham man, the centre-half, with a great free kick. The goalkeeper was stood and couldn't do anything about it, and Cheltenham have the equaliser.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. Just heard from Lee Bowyer there, the Addicts manager, after yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Doncaster Rovers. Really pleased with the performance by the sounds of it. Of course, he thought the lads were excellent, other than the fact that they didn't stick the ball in the net, I think, enough times. Only once, and that came from someone else. Overall, I mean, he seemed pretty pleased with the performance, and I guess it must be a bit confusing as a manager when you can see the team playing so well, you know, up until the edge of the penalty area, and then they just can't seem to stick the ball in the net again, Tom.
Yeah, so frustrating, isn't it? And as you say, he says that, you know, they're doing everything right in training as well. You see them before the game, obviously practicing their finishing, and even going back to those first couple of minutes of the game, we started so quickly and got to the edge of the box, and twice there was Johnny Williams on the edge of the box with an opportunity to just get it on his left foot and have a ping, and he just chose not to. And so what I said earlier, we need those midfielders now. Carlin's gone, and he's been gone for a little while, and goals have dried up on the whole. And Igor, we need to step up. Josh Parko's come in, we need to step up. And the likes of Williams, Fosu, Reeves, we need those players to step up as well, because we're going to have to start sharing out the goals. It can't all be on Lyle. And as Lewis said earlier, he's going through a little dry spell himself. So it is frustrating, because we're a really good side. And we're a solid side, and we play some lovely football as well. We just seem to not quite make up our mind quickly enough. You look at the goal yesterday from Wilkes. He gets one touch on the edge of the box. He has that half a second gap, and he's turned and he's fired a shot in. And yes, it's a brilliant shot, and there was nothing Dylan Phillips could do, but he still chooses to take that shot on. And I just think more often than not, we don't do that, and that's really frustrating. But on the whole, the performances are good, and you've got to think that at some point we are going to start taking those chances.
Interesting what you had to say about Johnny Williams, of course, joined from Palace. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that he does move around with the ball quite nicely, but now Bowie is even in saying himself, like, he just needs to add that final product now. And, you know, he could say that's probably the same for quite a lot of members of the team, but, you know, Johnny's come with very high expectations, because we know what sort of player, you know, everyone says he's too good for League One, but I think Bowie is starting to say, right, go on then, prove it.
Yeah, exactly. I think we looked at Johnny Williams as a bit of a luxury player when he came in. You know, somebody that we've all seen at the Euros and stuff.
Yeah, he does bring something. He does bring a certain level of excitement. It's just, like I say, just polishing it off now, the cherry on the top.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he glides with the ball. He creates the chances. He draws a lot of fouls as well, which probably is why he gets injured so much. But I think, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think we are always saying that he's not a player suited to League One level. He is better than that, but he's got to show it in forms of goals and end product. And although, you know, it might look good how he runs with the ball and takes his players on, but I just feel like at the moment we just want to walk the ball into the back of the net. It just seems that no one will have a pop, and Johnny Williams is playing in that, you know, he's playing at the tip of the diamond in that role. He should be screaming for the ball in the edge of the box and just having a pop, because he's got it in him. So that's what we should be looking to do. But I think this is a guy who's spent a lot of time on a treatment table in his career. Somebody that's probably here trying to prove a point and to rebuild his footballing career. And he's dropped from the Premier League, albeit at Crystal Palace, down here to us. And
gone up, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. If anything, he's made an improvement. But you know, he is trying to find his career again. You know, I've said a lot about Johnny Williams and how he's coped with his injuries in the past and how he's really struggled to sort of believe in himself and his own ability. And I think he's at the right club that can push him forward. I just think that he just needs to be told that he's got it in him to do it. And I think once he gets that goal or creates, you know, if he knocks in a last minute corner and it lands on Bielik's head or Bauer's head or something, that's still something. I think he just needs something from his foot to end up in the back of the net, whatever way it happens.
Normally, whenever we speak to Boyer and he's talking about his aspirations for a season, it's always aiming for the sky. And it was quite taken aback to hear Boyer rule out the top two yesterday because, well, I mean, we're 10 points away with 11 games left from Barnsley, and there's a Sunderland team in there with a game in hand as well above us. But, you know, it's unusual to hear him say top two is out of the question now.
Yeah, and as I said, we said on comms yesterday, I don't think he's going to let us drop off until he rules that top two out. But I wonder if that is a tactical thing. And, you know, you compare us to the performance of Barnsley yesterday, down to 10 men, still scoring 3 goals against, okay, a Southend team who've been very up and down this season, but they still managed to do it. And then you go back to the likes of us against Wimbledon, where it takes a last minute goal to get the 3 points there. And I just think we haven't shown that clinical aspect that those sides have got. I don't think we are going to make top two now, and I've been trying to cling on to that for as long as possible as well. So I wonder if he's just going to say, right, look, our focus now is securing this playoff place and slightly adjusting the mindset of those players, because if that is the case, maybe they'll start to relax a little bit, not completely because we're not securing the playoffs, but just take the shackles off a little bit and take slightly less pressure on themselves and think, do you know what, we can just play our football and enjoy it a bit more and, as I said earlier, try and build some momentum up to the playoffs, and maybe he'll get a performance out of them that way. Because, as we've said, the way we're playing isn't bad. We just need to finish it off now, and perhaps if they're just slightly more relaxed about it, then those chances will turn into goals.
Now, the other thing that we asked Bayer about, and obviously it's been in the headlines this week, and again, you sense a little bit of frustration, I think, from Bayer about the Roland du Châtelet comments during the week. He demanded that the EFL should acquire the club. I mean, obviously, we went into this in detail on Thursday's show. I wasn't very happy, if I'm being totally honest. But at the same time, I mean, you have to ask Bayer about it, because it's something that's bringing, I mean, he said it himself, it brings a negative light onto the club when he only wants positivity. But unfortunately, that's just the way of the world. When the club owner is going to come out and suggest something that, you know, universally has been derided as just a bizarre idea that would never work, and shows once again that he appears to be losing his marbles when it comes to running a football club, if he ever did have them in the first place. You can see why Bo is frustrated, because he must, I mean, I said it to you in the dugout yesterday, Tom, just after we spoke to Bo. I said, it must be so annoying when you're here in your first managerial role, doing a really good job, you know, getting a team on a bit of a difficult budget, and getting them to perform the way you have, and everything's going well on the pitch, but every now and then you get your boss sort of leaning out from behind the bushes and just calling everyone idiots and saying something stupid, or saying, oh, look at me, I'm stupid, like doing that. I mean, it must be so frustrating for Lee Bowyer. And, you know, obviously you ask him about it, and he just has to say, look, I need to ignore it. And often, I mean, I do that at work sometimes for a laugh, ignore the boss and say, I'm going to ignore you. But I mean, it's very rare that someone has to come out and say, oh, I'm just going to ignore my boss.
Yeah, I mean, it's just frustrating, because, you know, it does, as Bo touched on, you say, it muddies the water, because you look at the job that he and Jacko have done this season on a shoestring budget. You know, we only look back at that Sunderland game at the start of the season. We were all sat in here on the Thursday preview show thinking, well, is this going to be a season where we struggle to stay in the division because we haven't got the squad? And Bo has got us in the top six and comfortable in the top six. And I think he'll have an eye on who he wants to play in the playoffs, for sure. But it's frustrating, because in terms of the footballing side, we're ticking over nicely. We've got a team that we believe in. The support, especially at the away games this season, has just been fantastic. You know, we're packing out away ends up and down the country. Yesterday, I reckon last season, if we'd have had that trip, it'd be half the amount of people there than there were yesterday.
I think last season we did have that trip and we talk about the same.
Really?
I don't know why, but we seem to travel well to Doncaster for some reason.
Yeah, I think that there's something special about it. And whether it's because people really buy into, you know, Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson and what they're trying to achieve, they are working miracles under the restraints of a completely deluded owner. I mean, well, you know, if he's come out and said the EFL are going to buy us and he demands that, if it gets us the linesman that we had yesterday every week, then maybe it'll be a positive. But it's, you know, it's stupidity.
Because I was going to ask you how you felt on Thursday. Obviously, we've had a show since then, but you weren't here. So you haven't had your own chance to react to that statement. Obviously, the way it came out last week, the graffiti at Roland's house, TalkSport, then on the Tuesday. Wednesday was Fans Forum, and the minutes came out on the Friday morning where the suggestion had been aired, and we were like, wow, that's crazy. And then in Thursday afternoon, it turned from a suggestion into a demand. I mean, how did you ride that roller coaster of emotions?
Oh, it's just, I wasn't even surprised. Anything that comes out of that man's mouth is utter tosh. And it's just ridiculous, especially he loves Tuesdays. It seems to be that on a Tuesday, he puts out something ridiculous every time. I think that Middlesbrough statement, did that come out on a Tuesday? I think we played him on the Monday. And it came out on the Tuesday. And just the he's just so deluded, absolutely deluded. I think it wouldn't surprise me if his family need to have a chat with him and check he's all right upstairs, because I don't think he is. He can't be. Some of the stuff that he comes out with.
So just to clarify, you're not on board with the suggestion to...
It depends if we get the linesman as part of the deal. No, it's so bizarre. He just needs to keep his mouth shut and just sell the sodding thing.
Right, the floor is open. Plenty of you have had your say on all the topics we've been discussing so far. The game yesterday, performances, Johnny Williams, anything you want to talk about. And of course, the Roland du Châtelet situation, if that's the kindest way of putting it. Bob Liscombe is having his say on Johnny Williams. He said it's not just Lee Bowyer who's told Williams he needs to start to score, as he was surrounded by half a dozen fans on the train home letting him he needs to score yesterday. So I'm guessing you were in there, Bob. Hopefully in a nice way, you were saying he needs to score. And like apparently Stella Steve apparently met Lyle Taylor after the game yesterday and told him he should have scored in a less than complimentary manner, but that's Stella Steve for you. So yeah, it was good to see the fans interacting with the players in a nice way, which I assume is what Bob would have done with Johnny Williams. But yeah, I'm sure it's nice for players to have chats with fans as well. I'm sure Williams knows as well as anyone else that, you know, he needs to start finding the back of the net, and hopefully he will do soon. Right, Will Bolland said yesterday when Lee Bowyer said that he thought the referee had a good game. Will said, this is the first time I've really disagreed with Bowyer. Apart from disallowing the goal, the referee was awful. There seemed to be one rule for Doncaster and another for us, a very poor ref. But that's not new in the EFL, and especially not in League One. We've got loads of tweets on the naming of the stands, which we'll come to in a bit. But then John Ellis says, I thought we played really well for most of the game yesterday. A draw away at Donny, given the table, isn't too bad. He said he's already got the 26th of May penciled into his diary. Playoff final. No one's booked any holidays yet, have they?
It's in my phone.
It's in the phone, yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself, because I made that mistake last year and I got too excited. And unfortunately, obviously, that didn't turn out to be the case. Christian Norsworth, he said, is still in disbelief that someone could think that selling the club to the EFL could be a feasible plan. Yeah, I agree. Spenny said, it was a tough place to go yesterday, Doncaster. I would have taken a draw, but I felt we were the better team. Because, I mean, that is the thing, everyone says, a draw, a fair result or not. I'd argue that our spells of dominance were longer than theirs, which is probably the right way of putting it, and therefore we should be awarded 3 points by our EFL overlords.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. No, I feel like if that if the disallowed goal hadn't happened, I think it'd have felt we'd have been a bit more gutted than we were. But because that happened and we really could have lost the game, I think the draw, I think we were all kind of buzzing off of that draw. So, I mean, we've all said it would be harsh on either side if they'd lost it. Draw's a fair result.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, F. James, yesterday was a great point earned. Donny are a strong team, especially at home, but now is the time to seize the day. It's in our hands to still reach second spot. Our run is perfect, other than Pompey and Luton, but we have them both at home. We will do it. So Ev is still clinging on to the hope that we will get into that top two after Bowyer's ruled it out yesterday. But again, we love the positivity. Ev, thanks for that. Garmy said he was only going to listen this evening if I go on another rant like I did on Thursday, but I'm not. Right, Mark Anderson tweeted in saying, I'm back on the source. But he's actually replying to Roland Duchatelet. I hope he's replying to Roland Duchatelet, not himself. I know as a show, we may drive people to drink. But
probably
are.
Mainly ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's probably why Nathan wasn't here last night. Right, Tom Bramley says, really good performance yesterday. Like most, I would have taken a point before kickoff, so I can't really complain. It's just a bit frustrating when we dominated play for the first 75 minutes or so. Donny did play well after their goal, so a draw was probably fair. Now, Mark, reacting to the comments from... Roland Duchatelet said, hi guys, I just don't see Roland's request as being serious. He does want to blame everyone but himself for his failed ownership. Now he is focusing on blaming the EFL. Maybe he wants our sympathy by trying to convince us he has lost every last marble now. Just so, yeah, because the more you think about it, the more it does seem like he's just furious, and now he feels like it's the EFL's fault, and now he's not, maybe he isn't being serious. He's saying, all right, why don't you deal with this rubbish then? That's sort of the vibe. I'm just wondering if it's so much frustration, and he knows it doesn't make sense, and he's just going, oh, you deal with this rubbish then, and he doesn't want to have to deal with it himself. Am I being too kind there?
No, I said it on Thursday. When he's backed into a corner or he's annoyed, he lashes out. And he's fed up. Somebody said, we've said plenty of times, he bought the wrong club, first of all. And I think, maybe you said it on Thursday, he's bought a club by accident and he's made a big mistake. And he doesn't like to admit he's made a mistake. So he's just going to try and point the finger of blame at as many people as he can until he gets rid of it. And as we said on Thursday, it's going to come to a head and there's going to be some sort of end game in all this. And it's just about whether that's good for the club or not. But I think I do. I just think he's got to the end of his tether with it now, and he's just fed up of it, and he just wants rid. Because although we might only be 2% of his time, we're causing him a lot of trouble, and most of that through his own fault. And he just wants an easy way out now, and he's not making it any easier for himself because he's too stubborn to admit his mistakes. So, yeah, for me, it is a frustration from him that he's ballsed it up and that he can't just switch it off and switch it back on, that he's actually got to ride this out until he's prepared to sell it. And as I said on Thursday, until he lowers his asking price, that's just not going to happen.
Right. Martin says, story of the last few weeks yesterday, everything right. But then in the final ball is either poor or it's poor finishing, letting us down. We can't kill teams off. And he says he's desperate for Lyle to get back to scoring ways. As you mentioned, he hasn't scored since the Shrewsbury game. Not just a little. I know he came so close yesterday with that one that hit the post, and possibly should have done a little bit better with the one in the first half where Williams sent him away over the top, but desperately unlucky with the one that came off the base of the post. Now, David Nichols says, scoring goals is an issue again. Sounded like we should have been out of sight, but in the end, we were grateful for the point. Let's hope that Bowyer is right about someone taking a hiding soon. Pompey next week, and let's perform on TV for once. David has his say on the Australians or the takeover issue. It says, if the Aussies or any AN other really bid £35 million and Roland had to take it, he wants out and we want him out. Someone needs to get through to him about being realistic, as we aren't a championship team with a chance of the Premier League again. I'm really starting to fear for the future now with Roland's bunker mentality and so many players out of contract this season at the end of the year. If he becomes more entrenched and we don't go up, Luis Mendez's fears from August 18 could come true in August 19. Yeah, still famously, I bet on us to go down at the start of the season as we see it comfortably in the playoff places. Although we've got a tweet saying, questioning how comfortable we actually are in the playoff places, which we'll come to in a sec. Cliff says, a tough place to go, so a point is a good result. It's a shame we couldn't have taken our chances, or we would be sitting here with 3 points. Hopefully we will take them against Portsmouth next week. 100% Charlton then. So reading the Daily Mail article last week about Roland turning down 30 million and is looking to recoup 70 million is absolutely ridiculous. Looks like we're stuck with him until he puts us into administration. Next season is a write-off already if this club isn't sold. We've got players out of contract. Bowyer and Jacko would be crazy to stay if Roland is still here. What sort of budget would Bowes get to rebuild a squad? Pennies, that is what. My guess is that Roland will wait for the response from the EFL and then stop writing checks. I mean, yeah, we have got the response from the EFL. Presumably, hopefully that's going to be made public. They did say they will respond to the request from Roland. I'm begging that gets made public because that's going to be hilarious. Surely. I mean, what do you think would be in that, Tom? Lewis?
Well, LOL. I have no idea.
You're okay, hun.
Yeah,
Richard Justin, we were talking about earlier about the added time that seemed to go on forever. He says the extra 2 minutes were justified because both Aribo and Bilic were down for over a minute in injury time. I timed it on my phone. But I still think, so 3 minutes were shown, and then Aribo almost immediately was on the floor for about a minute. And then I thought we played 3 minutes, and then Bilic went down with maybe 5 seconds left. So even if Bilic was down for a minute, there was still only 5 seconds left to go, in my opinion. But, I mean, Richard's saying he's timed it, so maybe Aribo was down for longer than I thought, or Bilic was down earlier than I thought, who knows. But that's what he has to say. Rob says, I genuinely fear for the club's existence under this imbecile. He has to sell sooner rather than later, otherwise there will be no CAFC for future generations. It needs a buyer or a bullet. Not too fussed which one right now. I'm hoping it's going to be a buyer.
Not a bullet.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't get to that stage. But yeah, Ollie asking, how did Taylor play yesterday? Tom, how would you give him out of 10?
6 or 7. I thought he held the ball up well, made a couple of nice turns to get away from players. I think probably an early season Lyle Taylor scores both of those chances, because one of them he hits direct at the keeper. It's a good save to keep hold of it, because a lot of time you see that bounce off the keeper's leg and go in. And then the second one, he gets himself in a position where he's actually got a lot of time to finish and then misses the target or hits the post. So I think his general play, as we've said about so many players, his general play is good. But he's in the side to score goals. And because he hasn't done that, then I can't give him more than a 7, I don't think.
Charlton Exile says, I admire your positivity, but I think a playoff place is far from certain. A tough game next week versus Portsmouth and a 5-point swing either way is easy. We need to keep working really hard. Matthias says, a good point away at Doncaster. So relieved the assistant referee put his flag up. He said he saw Nathan yesterday. I hope that hasn't affected you too much, Matthias. He says we need to win next week. And Sebo quite rightly pointing out that yesterday was the first bit of luck we've had with the officials so far this season. Although I'm sure there's been other ones, but it feels like it, doesn't it? There we go. Right, let's have a listen to the audio diary. As I mentioned on Thursday show, loads of us were going up yesterday. Pretty much everyone from Charlton Life was up there. And we all met in the morning in Wetherspoons in St Pancras, my favourite place on earth, Wetherspoons, for a few drinks. We've got some special guests as well. Now, anyone who saw the photos of Lewis celebrating the winner at AFC Wimbledon last week would have noticed in the background there was a man who appeared... he had a look to kill, didn't he, really? And it turned out to be one of Lewis's mates. Rondon is his nickname for some reason. He was there yesterday, so he's a special guest on this audio diary. But this is how we got on our trip up to Doncaster yesterday.
Right, morning everyone. St Pancras, Wetherspoons, where better place to start an away day, Doncaster away. Everyone is in attendance. Tom, Lewis, Nathan, we're all here. Looking forward to the day, Tom?
Yeah, it should be good. I'm quietly confident. It's going to be a difficult game. We were just talking about their home record. They're in good shape at home. But yeah, I'm confident. I've had a big old Wetherspoons breakfast, ready to go.
Lewis, 3 points today on the road?
I'm hoping so, yeah. I'm fairly confident. I mean, they had a bit of a beating in the week from Shrewsbury, so they'll be looking to bounce back from that. But I feel comfortable. We had a good win last week. I think that, although it was only against lowly AFC Wimbledon, bottom club, I still think that last minute winner can bring a bit of a lift to the side. So, fingers crossed.
Nath, 3 points today, and that's pretty much our playoff place sorted, isn't it?
Yeah, 3 points, and we're a bit sorted. So, looking forward to the game. Nice big group of us. Everyone's here at the pub in St Pancras. Forgot where I was then, but yeah, no, it's going to be good.
I've got a special guest on the podcast this week. Many of you will recognise him from the background of that photo of Lewis Cat. Rondon, how are you doing? Looking forward to the game?
I am, very much so.
How do you think we got on today?
I reckon we'll do alright. I still reckon we might end up in a draw. Like.
Now tell me about that photo of you behind Lewis, because Lewis looked like he was loving it away at Wimbledon with the winner, but you look like you're ready to kill as many people as possible in 30 seconds.
To be honest, the mascot, the Womble, was giving me the eyes, and I was ready to knock him out, to be honest, mate. And I'm nothing more than a line in your
book. So we've arrived in Doncaster, been here a few hours now. Been watching the Tottenham Arsenal game with a few beverages, and the team has come out, the Charlton team. A couple of changes from last week. George Lapsley and Mark Marshall come out the side. Igor Vetekely coming in for his first start since November. And Christian Bielik returning to the side as well, probably at the base of the diamond. Rondon / Tommy Peacock, what do you make of the starting 11?
I think it's a very strong starting 11, to be honest. It's probably the strongest 11 we could have played out for today's game. Vetekely and Taylor could actually form a better partnership than when Hearn and Grant was in. But obviously it's yet to be seen because Vetekely's been injured most of the season.
Yeah, and a good point there, Tom. George, big chance for Igor Vetekely today, getting his first start. You feeling confident? Think he can make a bit of a name for himself now?
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance. I think this is the main time he needs to do it, because really without him, obviously Parker's injured, we haven't really got a lot of other options. So he's got his opportunity now. He needs to take that opportunity.
So Nath, we've been in Doncaster for a few hours. You've sent us to about three different pubs that don't exist. We've finally managed to find ourselves at the Black Bull. Yeah. The team news is out. A couple of changes from last week. What did you make of the 11?
Well, I think Eagles. Well, first on the pubs, it weren't my fault. It was my fault. I thought it was the. What did I think it was? Oh, the black lion. But there's no such thing. It's a red lion and a black ball, but we managed to get it in the end. In terms of the team, Eagles got a start. I mean, you haven't really got much choice, really, unless you started T. And I think Bo said that he weren't 100% this week. But I see it's a positive side. He still kept Johnny in. I thought Ben might be given a game here, but it's going to be a tricky game. And I think, well, a lot of people I spoke to said we'll take the draw before the game. Whether or not, well, the time you cut hear this, it will be, we'll know the score, obviously. But yeah, draw would be happy, but let's hope we get the 3 points and get a nice little cushion against Donny.
So, George 0-0 at the Keep Moat at half time. Fairly even affair so far, but probably arguably you'd say Doncaster probably have had the better of the clear-cut chances.
Yeah, we've had a few chances. I think we need to change something up. Maybe bring on Fosu or Marshall. We definitely need to change something because it's not working at the moment.
Pico, what did you make of the first half performance from the Addicts?
It wasn't the best of halves from us, to be fair. I mean, we made some chances, but we really didn't capitalise on them. And obviously, like, Taylor and Ergo Vetekely aren't really getting the game much, to be honest. It's like we should be taking more chances from what the midfield is offering us. In the dark,
we laugh. Goal here at the Keep Moat. Corner comes in. Turned into his own net by John Marquise. The man that we thought was the threat in the first half for Doncaster Rovers has turned it into his own net, and Charlton lead 1-0 here at the Keep Moat.
So, Nath, full time at the Keep Moat. Doncaster 1, Charlton 1. Late goal chalked off for the home side. Don't know, a bit fortunate, or do you think it was the correct decision?
I mean, I think on the balance of play, I think the draw was probably a fair result for me. I think first half we shaded it. We had a lap, you know, up until the goal, I thought we had a sort of, we had the momentum and things were going our way, and I think that the goal was coming, I think. But I mean, as a home side, you know, they're always going to. They needed to attack the game. There's no point in selling for a draw. They need to attack the game. They got a goal straight after, which is disappointing, especially of obviously him bringing Marshall on to try and make it a bit more solid. And I mean, you couldn't make that. The change sort of came at the right time, but you know, you couldn't really, you know, the formation got really set. But I mean, like I said on the train up there, I think all the taken, so I'll take that.
Yeah, I think so. Over the 90 minutes, probably a fair result all in, would you say? I think, as you've mentioned there, thought very, very frustrating to concede so soon after scoring. Seemed like just before our goal went in, it wouldn't go in for us today. So felt like we'd made the breakaway with that own goal, and then scored immediately after that, sort of knocked the stuffing out of us a little bit, especially in those closing periods.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you look at the balance of play, I think the first 25 minutes, well, I think we were on top. They came onto it second period of the first half. Second half, I thought we would have better. We started better, and then they obviously grew into the game as the game wore on. But I mean, listen, it's not AFC Wimbledon. I think they're a good side, and I think we'd take a point, and we've still got that gap. I mean, yeah, we would have preferred a win, but they've still got to win that game now, which they didn't do against Shrewsbury. So I still think the ball's in our court. We've still got to win our games, and then we'll just see how we go from here.
Point shared at the Keep Moat today then. Charlton 1, Donny 1. We're off down the pub. We'll see you later.
Boom. Lovely.
We go, our away day. Diary from the trip up to Doncaster. Always enjoy a good away day, don't you? Lots of people out and about. Ended up in O'Neill's when we got back for a little while as well, which was good fun. We spent about an hour desperately begging the man, the guy's a musician in there, acoustic musician, trying to get him to play Mother Kintyre, but he kept saying he don't know it. So I think we should have just sung it for him, really, which we would have done.
I think we were anyway over everything else.
Right, Bob Liscombe says, surprised that Parker wasn't in the squad yesterday. He was fit enough to play in the 23s on Friday, scored 2 goals. Yeah, he played 89 minutes for the 23s on Friday. I'm just guessing that he needed those reserve minutes before he could be exposed to first-team football again. But, you know, positive sign that he scored twice. No Piercy, I noticed, yesterday or in the 23s. And I only noticed that today, otherwise I would have asked Bo yesterday, but interesting. So hopefully he's only just got the sickness bug and he hasn't had any setback or anything like that, but maybe we'll find out over the course of the next few days. Right, messages on the Charlton Life Forum. CAFC says, good result in my eyes being away, and it keeps the gap we have between us and Doncaster. They needed to win a lot more than we did. One of our best performances for a while as well. Could have gone either way in the end. Lots of chances at both ends. Overall, a draw was probably fair. A bit worrying, though, that it's another game where one of our players have failed to score. 5 in 7 now, with one with the goal being an own goal. Taylor has not played well since Grant left and missed 2 big chances yesterday, which is worrying. We need him back to his best ASAP. Interesting that Grant has done better at Huddersfield than Taylor has for Charlton since Grant moved. Perhaps Grant was more crucial than we thought. Could see the defence was relatively solid again yesterday, other than Purrington, and another great performance from Dylan Phillips. Credit to everyone who travelled yesterday, didn't stop singing once. Yeah, Lewis, you're in that way, and where we were, it sounded brilliant, the support.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, we've got a lot of decent chance kicking off this year, haven't we? And it seems that everyone's buying into it. And it can be their 12th man, can't it, for the players. I know Bose has mentioned it quite a few times that we can make that difference, and I'd encourage any fan to get down to. I know maybe you don't want to come to the Valley at the moment, but if you can get to an away game, then do, because you know we're a friendly bunch of fans. You seem to bump into somebody you know, or if you don't know him, you end up chatting to him about Charlton in the pub, all friendly, and the atmosphere is always great. And I think we're already planning our next one, probably a stopover, which could be quite messy. Hopefully we've secured our top 6 place by then.
Yeah, Plymouth coming up towards the end of the season. A few people looking to stay down there. Right, Mendonca and Asda said, please not to get beaten yesterday, but we need to start scoring goals, and lots of them, find a bit of form and put a winning run together. I thought in the first half we played really well. Donny looked a bit sloppy perhaps, tired from their game in the week, and then up their game a lot in the second half. Pompey at home on Saturday will be another tough match, but we must go into it with confidence and not fear. It's interesting, isn't it, how runs get put together, because you could look at it as in we've won 1 in 5, or you could look at it as in we've lost 1 in 10. We've lost 1 in 10 games. It's weird. I mean, we're drawing a lot of games, basically, is what that's telling you at the moment. But yeah, it's funny how you can be glass half full or half empty in either way. But Mendonca and Asda said, I would love for us to come out the traps and be 2 or 3 up by half time rather than playing a cagey, tense first half. Be more boldly and take the game to them. I think it's against Portsmouth there. He's talking about the players have the ability and need to show more belief in themselves. And then he goes, how that bloke I can't mention, well, I'll mention it, it's Du Chatelet, who takes up 2% of my time, thinks that Charlton are a bunch of graffiti supporting artists is beyond me. They were handing around lemon drizzle cake and bread and butter pudding on our supporters, coach. He says the geezer is a donut. He's full of Belgian waffle. Yeah, I mean, obviously the graffiti incident, again, as we talked about on Thursday show, I mean, there's a lot of question marks over who's actually done that, and until the Belgian police actually come and point the finger at someone, then I don't think anyone can assume it was a Charlton fan or not a Charlton fan. That's not for our job to make assumptions. It's also not for anyone, for Du Chatelet to make assumptions. I know on TalkSport he said it wasn't clear, but in the statement he did seem to point the finger at Charlton fans, which I don't think is fair at all. Right, and a couple of DMs actually as well from Phil. Said, I didn't listen to the game yesterday, but now top two has gone. A point away at your playoff rivals is decent enough. Once again, a lack of goals from our midfield is costing us. More important to me and always has been is somehow ridding ourselves of Duchatelet. If we went up, it could be one of the toughest years under this madman with no investment. It's time for the trust and card and somehow the apologists to get together and come up with a plan to get this club back. We need to get the Valley Party. We did it with the Valley Party. We can do it again. He says, Roland's Duchatelet's comments this week shows why he only spends 2% of his time at Charlton. A complete misunderstanding of how football works. How a football club and how the Football League works. That's from Phil Cullum. He says, the guy is just nuts. And yeah, you're not going to find me disagreeing with that, unfortunately, because I'd love to be able to, but I can't. Right, Kinsella at AOL.com emailed offside goal. Of course it was offside. The assistant ref called it, and therefore, and the referee agreed with him, therefore it's offside. And then he signed off his email as Graffiti, which took me about 20 minutes to work out that says graffiti earlier. But that's what they had to say on the offside goal. Mark Anderson's disappointed in saying... Mark Anderson says that having Johnny Williams playing for Charlton is like dating a girl above your station.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. As a man who dates a girl above his station, yeah. I mean, we
all do in this room, but and this is going to sound awful in this in this context, but she really has to start performing now, doesn't she?
Yeah,
because he still hasn't scored a goal. Oh god, I hope Amy's not listening. Right, what is it? Shall we listen to Naby Sarr?
Let's do that.
I know you've all been buzzing for this interview, Naby Sarr. Now, like I said, I did promise to play this on Thursday, but I got a little bit carried away with my rant. Naby Sarr obviously scored his free kick goal, his second league goal of the season at AFC Wimbledon last week. So obviously there was this interview was a bit longer, but it's a bit out of date now. Other than the fact that obviously over the Amy is listening, brilliant, just got a text. obviously over the last year, you know, this season Naby's just just performed superbly, and if you think about where he was when he signed for this club maybe 4 years ago. That never seemed likely. So after the Wimbledon game, I was just asking Naby what he thought it was that has seen this upturn in his performances over this season.
Nothing. I think I had the chance this season to play more. So I think the more you play, the more you build confidence. The past few seasons, I wasn't playing like regularly. I was playing and after on the bench, playing on the bench. So this season, I have the chance to go most of the weekends. So I'm happy and I'm building on that.
Your relationship with the fans has been quite entertaining to watch from the sidelines. I saw you sort of bowing to them after the game there. They certainly have taken you under their wing this season.
Yeah, of course, it's very good, and that gives me strength. Not just me, I think the whole team, because we have us on our back, and they were singing until the end, and they helped us score the second goal today, so that's good.
Obviously, it has been a bit chop and change, a bit at the back four with Piercy being out and the fullbacks having to change a fair bit. Does that make it a bit more difficult to become settled?
No, really. It's just no one. I'm going to say no one is safe. Everyone has to fight for his position. That's what I'm trying to do. And after the gaffer make the decision, but I'm trying to do everything I can to keep my position. Even the PC is still the captain, is an important player for us. But it's a healthy competition, and I think that keeps us all going to do good every weekend.
There we go, Big Nabs. Always great to hear from him. So it was only brief because most of that interview was talking about the Wimbledon game, and obviously that's a bit out of date now. But love Nabs. And, you know, I mean, I remember at the turn of the year when Piercy got injured, I remember saying in the studio, well, now Naby needs to lay down a marker and make himself undroppable. And, well, he was obviously listening to Charlton Live that week because he's gone and done it.
Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic since coming in. And I think we were all, when he first came in, we were all looking, right, how long's Pierce going to be out, because we need him to come back. And Sarr has taken that pressure on him, and all the pressure really since the start of his Charlton career, which has just been, it's been tough for him. And he's just excelling now, and you can see the confidence in him. And I didn't think he had his best game yesterday. He got caught in possession two or three times and picked the wrong pass a couple of times, but that's small criticism for what's largely been praised, because he has been fantastic. And His defensive side of his game has improved a lot recently. We know what he can do on the ball. We know what he can do going forwards. I didn't realise he had that free kick in him, but in terms of kind of starting attacks and his quality on the ball. But his positional sense, the way he can just clear danger. I mean, him and Bauer in particular, but Saar had to do his bit against Marquise yesterday and did it very well. And yeah, he's keeping Pearce out of the side for me now. And Pearce is our leader, our warrior, our captain, and at the moment can't get a place. And until Saar does something wrong, and obviously I hope that that doesn't even happen, then for me he has to keep his place unless you move to a three at the back and put all three of them in.
It's a remarkable turnaround in form, isn't it, Lewis? You know, anyone can remember what it was like 3-4 years ago. I mean, Naby Saar was a laughing stock. So to see him performing as well as he does do now, obviously there is a caveat. Don't forget, he's on a lot of money because he signed on a big contract when we're in the Championship. He costs a lot of money in the first place, and we've gone down a level. But he still has to perform at League One level, and it's not easy. And, I mean, what do you think it is that makes him so much more settled this season? I mean, he said it's game time, but do you reckon there's more to it than that?
I think so. I mean, I agree the game time. He's never really had that consistent run in the side. I mean, we saw glimpses of it last season, but he was only really coming off the bench or filling in where needed be. He was sort of that bit part player that were coming at left back if he was needed. And do you know what? I think I've touched on this last week when we were on the show with Terry, that it shows his character, and that he had probably the toughest of starts when he came here out of those players that came from the network. He seemed like he was a poster boy for the regime, a failing regime, and as you say, a laughing stock and a mockery. And despite all of that, he had his unsuccessful loan period. And when he came back, we maybe thought that we wouldn't see anything of him. We'd try and get rid of him, but he stayed here. He's staked a claim where others have been offered the chance to stay here and haven't. And he's played his way into the side, and he's kept himself there, and he deserves so much credit. Mm. And it's really nice to see, because I always think there's been a player in there. I think people forget how young he still is, and it's just great to see Naby doing well. And you can see that he's happy playing football, and he is happy at Charlton. You know, he's always smiling on the pitch, and the fans love him, and he truly does love the fans back. I think I really do get that.
Yeah, his teammates love him as well. 25 years old, Naby Saar, but yeah, certainly come into his own since the turn of the year. Started every game since the turn of the year as well. Jim Campbell tweeted in, have the EFL bought Charlton already? That can be the only explanation for that offside. Yeah, that was one of the questions. Right, let's have some nostalgia, shall we? And I like this because this is basically a listener writing the script for me, so I didn't have to think about it the last 10 minutes. Richard Workman tweeted earlier today. So if more of you want to start writing the script for me, save me a few hours, a few seconds every week, feel free to tweet in ideas. But Richard Workman said earlier, West Ham named a section of their stadium after Billy Bonds, which stands to Charlton rename, and who should they rename it after? Now, as you'd expect, we got a lot of sarcastic responses as well. So Bob Knight emailed in saying, we should name the toilets after Roland, as he's taken the pee for the last 5 years. And yeah, we've got another similar suggestion came in from Dr. Lazarus, said we should call we should have a toilet section called the Katrine Latrine. Which, I mean, it works because it rhymes, and they're both about as useful as each other as well, which is good. You could argue a toilet's more useful. Martin says West End should be named after Alan Kirbishley. So that's an absolute no-brainer. Terry wanted to see a stand named after the linesman from yesterday as well, which is quite funny, which I think I'd go along with. We'll have to find out what his name was. Yeah, the lino stand. Garmy says wants Keith Peacock for the West Stand, Curbs for the East Stand, and the covered end should be renamed the Hales End. Well, yeah, not bad ideas. Who would you guys go for? I mean, the obvious answer is Curbs, I think.
Curbs would be the only serious one that I would think, because naming a stand is a big deal. You've only got four of them, and then you look back at the whole history of the club, you've got to be careful. For me, the covered end should stay the covered end.
How about the Simon Church Northwest Quadrant?
Well, good, yeah, and the Olverstad family stand. Yeah. But no, I think the only serious one for me would be Curbs. Look, there's players who've done amazing things at this club, but you know, even people like Jacko, you know, if he goes on and has a managerial stint here and takes us to the Premier League or something, at that point you'd think maybe. But for me, Curbs is the only one in recent memory who's really done enough to earn something as big as one of our four stands and part of our real estate being named after him.
Quite a few people actually saying, how about Steve Wisdom said the Roland Duchatelet Carsies. Steve Henry said the Roland du Châtelet stand guaranteed to be filled every game, but then he says on a serious note, maybe after Alan Kirbishley. James Court would like to see West stand after Kirbishley, the East stand after Lenny Lawrence. It'd be great to recognise our three greatest managers with Jimmy Seed already in place. Obviously Lenny Lawrence was actually slightly before our time, so, but I know he's held in high esteem here by fans of a slightly older vintage. Marcus Hoare said it agreed that it would have to be Alan Kirbishley West stand. How about Chrissy Powell for the East stand? I mean, he'd certainly be popular with our generation. John Skinner said Derek Hales perhaps for the covered end. Then M tweeted in saying the Jimmy Seed stand shouldn't be stuck with the Jimmy Seed shouldn't be stuck with the away fans. Should maybe he wants to either move the stand or move the fans in it, which could be a good idea as well. And then Jimmy Seed himself, his grandson, who probably has something to say about the Jimmy Seed stand himself, said we should have the Sar Bar named after Nabi Sar. So there we go. Excellent. Suggestions on this evening's Charlton Live. And I say thank you to Richard Workman for sending that in. And Mark Anderson was in Berlin at the same time as me, by the looks of it. So I hope you enjoyed it out there, Mark. And yeah, Charlton boys taking over Berlin. That'll be the day when we get into Europe and we play Hertha Berlin away at the Olympic Stadium. Then we'll all meet up and go and hang around in Alexanderplatz or something and have a sing-song. Something to look forward to. Bob Liscombe. I thought he tweeted in something. There we go. He says, name of the stand. Here we go. Has to be the Keith Peacock stand. Plenty of people have been and gone, but Keith is still there. He certainly had the most longevity of anyone to do with the club, I guess.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Keith's a lovely character, isn't he? I mean, even you see him around, he'll say hello to you, regardless, even if he knows who you are. He's a lovely bloke and has been here a very long time and has been a bit of a glue at the club that people seem to look to and they're good in the hardest of times. So I'd agree with that. I think Keith Peacock would be a good one. Kerbs is my obvious choice behind Nabi Sarr. If Nabi Sarr didn't get it, then it would be Kerbs.
Yeah. And Sebo, who himself probably has earned a stand named after him, says that. How about the Sam Bartram covered in? Excellent suggestions now that we've come to the end of the show. It's flown by again. Thanks to all of you who've got involved this evening with your tweets and your emails, your forum posts as well, your suggestions for naming a stand. Thanks to Tom and to Lewis for coming in.
Cheers, no worries, Louis.
I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to Charlton Live this evening. We shall see you back here on Thursday evening. We'll get ready to preview next Saturday's home game with Portsmouth. Don't forget, it's a late kickoff next week because we are on Sky TV, so don't get it too early. I hate late kickoffs because now my entire day is out of sync. Do I still go to the Valley Calf for breakfast or is it lunch now? I don't know. I'm confused.
Never too late for Valley Calf breakfast.
No, exactly. So there we go. I'll cross that bridge when it comes to it next week. But thanks for listening. This has been Charlton Live. We'll be back here on Thursday evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.